Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden. Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up.
The Truth Straight Up, the show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Chuck, and we weren't sure whether Chuck was going to be here. He has been out looking for the missing F-35 fighter jet.
I reported one.
I saw. We'll talk about that in a little bit. We're hoping to get Tom Tancredo with us.
We saw Tom at the Hispanic dinner. He's looking great. It was great to see him.
It was great to see him and wanted to get his thoughts about Ken Buck, the ongoing dispute. And coming up at 3:30, we're going to have Todd Watkins, the El Paso County vice chair, the grassroots guy who, along with Anna Ferguson and a couple hundred at least, other Republicans, signed the letter asking our representatives to help support justice for the January 6th people. And Ken Buck goes on the attack. I wanted to talk to Tom, so hopefully we'll get him here, about how did Ken Buck go from wanting to drain the swamp to becoming a swamp creature.
Well, you know, politicians, I hate to tell you this, but just adopt attitudes they think are popular. And so you have Adam Kinzinger was a Tea Party favorite. Liz Cheney was considered a very strong Republican. In Colorado, you can go to people like Cory Gardner. Cory Gardner was a Tea Party favorite. And for that matter, so was George Brockler. Not so much today.
No. Okay. So Thomas has tried Tom. So we hope to get, if we don't get him today, because sometimes Tom can get busy. Oh, and Sandra said she heard Tom on Matt Dunn yesterday.
Really?
A great interview. Yeah, he's just doing great. For a while, I think he was not feeling that well. Well, in the meantime, I could talk about my favorite story of the year. I'm sure you guys have all heard this. So Thomas will play the video while we're maybe waiting to hear from Tom. I'll give you the cue. I just wanted to give you a heads up. So yesterday, an F-35 fighter jet, which are big, fighter jets are big, right? Took off. I'm not sure what it was doing. It sounds like some sort of routine thing. And then the pilot ejected. And in the meantime, the military put out an announcement saying, we have lost the fighter jet.
Somewhere.
And the pilot ejected due to a mishap. And we've lost
put
the fighter
on
jet.
Autopilot.
And you put it on autopilot. And it's like, if you see it, please call.
Call 911. Crashes into your house. Let us know.
I mean, it's kind of like, what an embarrassing thing. I mean, you know, it had to be, I don't know. I mean, to me, the story, one thing I know for sure, and that is they are not telling us the truth about it.
It's
what they initially said. Thomas, if we could just please play the missing fighter jet video.
But we begin tonight with breaking news. Military officials say they're responding to a, quote, mishap involving an F-35 fighter jet. Officials say the pilot of an F-35 Lightning II ejected from the jet and landed safely. But the search is on now for the missing F-35. They don't know where it is and are asking the public for help. Publicly available flight data shows sled flying over Lake Moultrie near Charleston. If you know anything, call Joint Base Charleston at 843-963-3600.
I say we all call that number right now and say, and Bonnie says, aren't they $1 billion? I think they're $80 million. It's an $80 million jet. I mean, there were so many questions about this. Number one, when you lose an $80 million stealth military fighter jet, I got to assume it was armed or something. I mean, I don't know. Who knows? But I mean, that's not like a mishap, right? I mean, that's a little bit more than a mishap. Why, if you're the pilot, if the plane is still flying around, which apparently it is, because they're asking people to call in if they see it, you got to assume, one, if it crashed, someone would have noticed that. They're saying they're looking in the lakes in case it, like, somehow yesterday afternoon, maybe during, Bronco game, it crashed into the lake and no one noticed,
Maybe the pilot put it on just go east. And so it goes somewhere out in the ocean and crash.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, it's just ridiculous, right? And then they say, call this like 1-800 number if you see it. But why would he eject from a perfectly fine plane? If the plane's capable of flying, because I have my theory.
You want to see if the ejection seat works.
You want to see if the ejection seat worked, right? And where'd he come down? You know, I mean, you'd think they could say to him, what happened to the plane? So they know what happened. They know what kind of mishap happened. That's some of the comments. Can't fly in the rain. Jim Jackson, a billion here, a billion there. Pretty soon you're talking real money. And then Leo says, like, they can't put an Apple AirTag on the $80 million plane. Oh, my God.
Well, GPS stuff. No, that doesn't work.
It's been so funny, right? They have ones with Peter. They have ones where, like, you can, you know, you have to find your phone feature. You know, it's like, find my F-35. Some guy was saying every time he sees, I mean, the memes are just hilarious. Every time he sees an airplane, he calls 911 and reports that it's a missing jet. I've seen pictures of the guy. Remember the guy carrying something out of the January 6th and they got him with a fighter jet. And he's like, I took it. Then they've got Zelensky doing selfies with the fighter jet in the background. I mean, it's just hilarious. But it's not hilarious, actually, because then later today, the military issued a 2-day stand down for all military aviation in the country. Now, that's not a good sign. I guess you could call that a mishap, but that's a significant mishap.
It would indicate, although you have no idea, it would indicate maybe there was some jamming device that was... it affected it or something else. I mean, it's obviously a broader problem than just that plane.
Right. Was the pilot a Bud Light drinker? Maybe it turned out they was woke, right? You know, maybe it's on its way to Afghanistan. The Taliban need more of a military equipment. Well, I mean, there's just so many things. My thinking is, and I don't know all the technical terms, but that somehow or another, the military, it was hacked, right? That's why the pilot ejected, because he suddenly realized someone else, and which you can do, right?
Some kid. With a little box is now controlling it. You know?
What is the thing that you can put in your car that you can find it? They said the transponder's not working. It's like, come on, guys. And you know they're lying to us when, okay, so it's been since Sunday afternoon. They're looking over these two nearby lakes. Okay, well, if they haven't seen it yet, right? I mean, it's a fighter jet.
Well, also, can't the Army trace fighter pilots flying over the United States? I mean, this could be a Russian plane. We don't know. I mean, it could be anywhere.
Chinese spy balloon, for God's sake.
Where'd that go? Just going to Washington.
Exactly. And I mean, to think that, well, I mean, clearly they're lying, right? That
they're lying, as usual.
Well, they're not lying in that I believe they can't find it. I don't think they'd be.
Well, no, but something bigger than that. I mean, we can't be that bozo-y. I mean, maybe we are now.
On the other hand, though, you never know. I mean, on the other hand, it could just simply be somebody flipped a switch and it was like, it was the wrong one. And the pilot had to adjust. But that's my guess, which raises even more alarm, because so if the Air Force cannot fly any planes right now for at least 2 days, and why 2 days? I mean, 2 days implies bad, right? It's not like even a DIA, when they have sort of bad things, and United can get things fixed within 2 days, right? Maybe United.
Not sometimes.
Well, but I mean, even there, you know, when they have the ground system go down or something like that, it's usually for a few hours. So this is for 2 days. 2 days to me says they don't know how it happened and they don't know how to fix it. That's what.
And don't know where the plane went.
They don't know where the plane went.
In theory, anyway, I mean, you know, he knows what coordinates he put it on. And you know, I hope he had it kind of flying over the Atlantic. But
This is from Leo. It was a 12-year-old with a Commodore 64 that hacked it. And then Jacob Biden and
started doing flips with it,
Well, I mean, again, so let's just look at it. The pilot, he's not going to eject if the plane was going to crash, right? So, and if the plane had crashed, we certainly would have found out about it by now. Someone would have noticed the F-16 crashing over Charlotte, right? Or the people who lived around the lake would have been, did you see that giant? It was a nice day, right? People out of the lake.
Isn't that plane flying low?
And then they're like, well, it's stealth. It's like, well, it's not that stealth. It's like, it's a fighter jet. You would see it. And then the fact that they've grounded all military. I mean, I don't mean to say anything. Russians are like, you know, we need to, or maybe it's just the Defense Department realizing that there's no support for the war in Ukraine. It's like, we need to spend more money on our fighter jets. To, you know, I don't know.
Zelensky's going, can I have the British fighter jet?
He's like, I don't want the American fighter jet. From Jacob, ask Tom Cruise. Even like Sandy, even the Humvees have GPS. We could get Tom Cruise in there. But you know they're lying to us, right? And I have a feeling it's bad. Like they lied to us about the Chinese spy balloon. Oh, that's nothing. You know, it's like, it's a Chinese spy balloon.
We shot it down once it's gotten all the information it needed.
You would think... here's another funny meme. So they show, did you guys see the pictures of those kind of fake paper mache-y looking aliens that they, that they unveiled, right? So somebody was posting a meme of the alien in the fighter jet. It is totally
alien,
right.
Alien, the fighter jet.
Well, exactly, you know. And then somebody had another meme where they hired the Scooby-Doo people to go find the fighter jet, you know. And then you have all these things of like this fighter jet just like parked at McDonald's in the drive-thru.
Kind of the wing bumps against the window.
I mean, it's funny, but it's not funny. And it tells me something about so much we rely on AI, right? I mean, you know, think about it. We actually wouldn't do this show if the internet went down. I mean, it is scary to think sometimes how reliant we are on that kind of stuff. And technology, right? Technology. But when you have AI flying the planes and, you know, on autopilot, you know, it's alarming to think that the pilot, it could be taken over, which is going to be my guess when all is said and done. I don't think they'll ever admit it. Do you?
I don't think we'll ever hear about it again.
No, I think here's what they're doing
just
now.
Write off the 130 million, whatever it is, just write it off.
To come up with an explanation, they're going to show, like I said, they're going to find some fighter jet at McDonald's. Oh, we found it.
Yeah, here it is. Pilot was hungry.
They should put up a reward too.
Well, there you go, for $80 million plane.
That's going to be my other prediction. One, it was hacked. We will never find, somebody took it over, right? And they've had to ground everything for 2 days. And just to be on the safe side, I don't know. I think I would maybe pay a little bit of attention to the submarines. I pay attention to all kinds of
co-pilots for those planes? He's still with it.
Yeah, no, I mean, there was apparently a pilot, right? So you got something bad happened. They're going to phony up some picture of a fighter jet, right? Someplace, a little bit in a lake. So it looks like
a little water on the wheels.
A little water on the wheels. So it looks like it went in the lake, but fortunately we found it.
Not a problem.
I'm not going to say, so no problem, guys. Sorry about that, everyone. We're all cool now, you know? But I did like the guy who said every time he sees a plane, he's calling and saying it's a fighter jet.
Well, how'd you know?
Leo says
F-16, F-35.
Leo says, ask ChatGPT where the plane is. That's a good point. From Barney, like it or not, our U.S. military is almost a joke. Almost, Barney, you know. From Jacob, TikTok said they found the jet in a Happy Meal. And then Barney says, good one, Jacob. I mean, it's just ridiculous. You know, the other thing, I think, we have Todd Watkins. Hey, I'm Thomas, we could go ahead and let Todd Watkins in, and we can bring him on a little bit earlier while we're waiting to see if we get Tom.
If we get Tom.
Yeah, and then from Sandra, the pilot was over South Carolina, over U.S. territory, not even the ocean or Russia or whatever. No, and
but it's not too far away.
Well, and like I said, they know what happened, right? The pilot said, and I'm assuming if you're the pilot, you would go call them.
You're drinking heavily at this point.
He's hospitalized. That's so he can't talk to anyone, right?
Why'd they hospital?
Yeah, Jacob, he was following the weather balloon. Well, I imagine when you eject, I don't know, how does it, I mean, I'm assuming a parachute pops open, right?
But it'd be bad news if it doesn't.
Yeah, you could crash into a tree or something like that.
Well, I know, but you try not to. I'm the pretty good parachute.
Because I'm sure he's been hospitalized, so he can't.
No, he can't hospitalize.
So he can't talk to anybody.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what's happening.
I'm mentally ill.
Right. But again, you know, I'm sure he probably, let's say you're flying your jet, and all of a sudden you notice that something's taking it over and you're not responsive. You would probably say, you know, Houston, you know, are you doing something weird there with the fighter jet? And Houston's like, no. And you try to mess around with it a little while.
What happens?
And then at some point,
To those fighter jets if somebody has, you know, heart attack or something else? Is it just kind of like, oh, well, there you go.
No, they switch on autopilot and the autopilot can land it. So that's what I'm saying.
That didn't work out too well in this case.
I mean, clearly the U.S. military does not have control of the fighter jet, but someone does because it's
fine. That kid with the little controller.
Think about it. That just makes sense. If you're if it's on autopilot and the autopilot is controlled by the military, because like you said, there probably has to be some in case something goes wrong, right? I mean, they have that on regular commercial jets, right? They can land it with autopilot, mm-hmm. right? I don't think you want to let the passengers know that, but they can. So someone, I mean, for Pete's sakes, if I have problems, the Geek Squad at Best Buy can take over my laptop and fix it. You know what
the
I mean?
The Geek Squad did it.
Yeah. So I'm sure that somebody in the military, if they could access this, they could. So someone has not only taken over the fighter jet, somebody is blocking the military from accessing the fighter jet, yeah, right? And so, I mean, it's in its own way, it's not just a joke. It's a pretty alarming. Yeah, Leo was like, was Rev online when this happened? That's right. It was like, he was there. Like the guys who were trying to save that sub with the little, the PlayStation joystick. So I don't know. I think though, you know, we will probably.
There's something about technology is starting to break apart.
Yeah, none of us will ever find the truth. Like I said, they're going to phony up some picture of a fighter jet in a little bit of water. Water, and they're
going
to say, yeah, found it. And then the pilot will be disappeared. So he can't say anything. No.
Be in a DC jail.
And let's see. Do we have, in the meantime, Todd, I saw you enter the room. We were Tom Chancrato. We haven't been able to get hold of him. So Todd, if you are here, feel free to unmute yourself. Are you here?
I am here.
Yeah.
All right, Todd, our hero.
So we will just jump to you then.
Jump.
To talk about go ahead.
So I will bet anything that somewhere in South Carolina a trailer park just got the best barbecue grill ever.
They'll all be around it. Marshmallows.
they got that F-35 loaded up with charcoal and they're grilling roadkill right now.
Well, Todd, you were, you know, work for the U.S. government. Do you, I mean, I suspect one, we will never find out what really happened, but two, I think it was somebody must have hacked it and they have, you know, they can't get it back. They don't know where, I mean, you don't put out a, you know, call 1-800 fighter jet if you see it, you know, but I mean, what do you think?
Well, I was in the Army and I was in the Border Patrol, two of the most underfunded organizations that, you know, Uncle Sam ever concocted. We were always reminded, putting on your body armor or any other piece of gear, that just remember your equipment was provided by the lowest bidder. So you go ahead and trust that rope, sonny boy.
Oh, wait a minute, Todd, what update? Okay. Miscommunication between me and Tom. He's driving, so we can't, and he thought we were going to have him on Wednesday. Hey, Thomas, if you tell him, go ahead, Wednesday it is, and we'll just go straight to Todd then to talk about this Ken Buck thing. So, Todd, so you
start us out. You and about half of the State Central Committee, which is about 250 people, wrote a nice letter to all your representatives asking for them to take their positions and hopefully help out with the January 6th prisoners and their terrible dilemma and jailing conditions, everything else. And then you got a very interesting letter from our own Ken Buck.
Yeah, interesting is kind, and you were always kind, Chuck. So I did not write. It wasn't an academic paper.
Right.
I was communicating what I thought among most Republicans would have been somewhat common knowledge, understanding. If anybody who pays attention to any of this at any point would have to agree that the DOJ has been weaponized. And perhaps the best example of this weaponization is its use against the people who are at the January 6th event. I'm not gonna dignify it with calling it a riot. Certainly not going to dignify calling it an insurrection.
It
wasn't, and no one's been charged with that either. Ken Buck, I was not expecting or trying to elicit the dispute that is now unfolded
between
Ken
Buck. But I honestly foolishly thought that maybe they would say, yeah, we'll look into it. I'll have some of our staffers go have a look at it. I mean, I know. Yeah, there have been a couple of, you know, congressional delegations that have attempted to visit J6. I know Green and Gohmert wrote a 28-page piece about it. So I didn't think that this was going to be incendiary or inflammatory, but apparently it is. And I have to admit that I was astonished that Ken Buck so adamantly and staunchly defended the Merrick Garland DOJ in this.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't know what to say. You know, no, I was never an attorney, never a prosecutor, but I spent 24 years as a federal agent. And I can tell you that this, you know, if Buck wants us to think this is totally normal, you're just being, you know, led astray by, you know, ne'er-do-well internet charlatans. No, I mean, I'm watching this with my own two eyes.
Right. Well, and then Buck, basically, yeah, he lists, and Ash Eck did another great job.
Yeah, I saw that today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, debunking it. So, you know, so Buck then attacks you. I mean, he just doesn't say, hey, look, you know.
Well, he attacked you. He attacked half of the State Central Committee and all the other officers and everybody else. I mean, you know, it was not a nice letter in return.
No, and the worst thing was everything he said in the letter accusing you of being wrong, he was wrong about. I mean, more and more facts are coming out every day about all the things. So what does he do? Like you said, you'd think, rather than saying, oh, gall, I guess maybe I shouldn't have used CBS News and Associated Press and MSNBC, yeah, as my main sources. Now I'll look into it. But instead, he doubles down. George Brockler doubles down.
I mean, this morning, if you haven't heard it, it's a great show on George's.
Don't give him the clicks.
Give him the clicks.
All right.
From eight to 9:30 or something. I mean, it was wonderful. So, George just attacked everything. Along with Billy, his left-wing producer, and they said things like, well, wait a minute, Ken Buck was a Tea Party icon before this, and you kind of go, so was Adam Kinzinger. Let's see, Liz Cheney was very popular in conservative circles. Our very own Republican U.S. Senator was a Tea Party guy in
Cory Gardner
in 2010. And by the time 2016 rolled around, he'd gotten anti-Trump and everything else, and he waffled back. And quite frankly, and you should maybe note this too, George, you used to be a Tea Party favorite, and I promise you today you're not.
Well, and Todd, to your point, so just today, this happened, okay? The January 6th prisoners who are being detained in D.C., are back in quarantine 24/7 because of COVID. Mm-hmm. Right. So they have for the foreseeable future. Now, the last time they did this, the foreseeable future was a year. Right. So in that time, again, Ken Buck was just flat out wrong. They have no visits with family or friends, no contact with their lawyer, no lawyers meetings. Right. No showers.
That's right.
No religious services. And I mean, the other prisoners are not in COVID lockdown.
Right.
But for some bizarre reason. So, you know, I mean, I think you may have this whole argument or this debate. So, I mean, so Ken Buck, it's like, hello, it's still happening. And we gave George some names. Other people have provided, Ash Epp went through, and I won't read them all, but with a list of names of people who were detained for months without being charged.
Well, but George always says, send me it to him. And you send it to him, and then you go, oh, that dude was bad. You're kind of like, what do you mean, George, that dude was bad? Every dude is bad who was in Washington that day.
So what do you make of it, Todd? Because I think it is important to note, as you did, you thought this wouldn't be like a no-brainer, that this would, what's controversial about this. Why is it, do you think, two questions. Why is it, do you think, that Ken Buck and the George Brockler wing of the party are so adamant in putting this down and not willing to let it drop? You know, why do you think that?
They desperately want this to drop, I think. No. They absolutely want us to walk away from this and not bring it up again.
Okay.
I think that if we can agree that since November of 2020, the Republican Party has had some new faces getting involved and now holding leadership positions. And I will count myself among them.
Right.
I would
too. We see what is happening, and we see, it, unfortunately, as we go along, that it's not just Democrat DNA on this stuff. There are a lot of, you know, so-called Republican fingerprints on these things also. I think that meddling in the affairs of state into these organs of government jeopardizes their longevity. I think they to one extent or another somewhat facilitate it. Maybe they don't want to, but hey, this is how we dance in Washington D.C., in Denver. If when you get into those hallways of government and governance, so to challenge it, for them to challenge it might put them in a bad position. You know, friends don't snitch on friends in Congress, that sort of thing.
And when you look into, again, because I admit I hadn't paid much attention to the specifics, but I have now. But even like when you look at the way that they're treated, I mean, forget the whole thing. Like you said, it was a Fed's erection is what it was. Right. And forget that it was as
it would seem that way.
Of notice. It was a Fed's erection, not an insurrection. And, you know, I mean, it was set up. Ray Epps still hasn't been charged. These
George denies Ray Epps. Ray Epps says he's not an agent.
He would never lie, would he? But I mean, roughly 12% of the people who have been arrested, over 1,000 have been arrested, have been indefinitely detained for at least a period of time, right? Again, without being charged. Yeah. Another guy by the name of Jonathan Millis never even had a bond hearing at all. Another guy by the name of Ryan Samel and Lucas Denny, both of them
Samsel, detained,
but wasn't indicted for a long time either.
Yeah.
In DC, the people in DC, in the DC jail for 2 years, no video or physical family visits. They were denied religious services for 2 years. That's not normal. Another guy, a Christopher Worrell, was denied treatment on a broken wrist and cancer. Another guy, Zach Reho, was told the jail didn't carry any of his medications.
Yeah. Right.
It's like, okay, so you need medicine. Like, sorry, we don't have any, right? Right? That's normal treatment, right? I mean, you know, and again, they were denied one of the other reasons. And I can't even imagine how Ken and George could defend this. One of the things they've done that's very tricky in terms of denying them contact with their counsel, with their lawyers, is they move them from facility to facility, right? So if you're the lawyer, you set up a meeting for Tuesday at this facility, then they just move them to a different facility. One guy ended up going to trial having had only 9 hours ahead of trial to talk to his lawyer and get discovery. I mean, it's completely weaponized. And not even to mention the fact that the jury is obviously, you know,
as George said, a jury which he got to pick. Yeah. From a jury pool that was all anti-Trump. Yeah. You get to pick partially. Yeah. And the judge can decide whether to throw who off. I mean, who is George kidding? I know.
I mean, it's insulting to our intelligence. It's particularly, I mean, I find it insulting to my intelligence. I did this for a living. I can tell you of the tens of thousands of arrests I was directly involved with, supervised the preparation of court material, but in the Border Patrol, we produce all the casework, but I can't even begin to tell you how many thousands of drug smugglers, actual, you know, foreign criminal operatives were just released. We catch a mule train of, you know, 10, 15, 20 guys backpacking dope into the country, illegal aliens bringing in, you know, drugs into the country. And we'd write up the criminal case. And of course, the AUSA would decline prosecution.
Yeah.
And mind you, each one of them had, you know, it was about 50 pounds on their back, each one. That was kind of how they would prepare these.
Well,
you look at the human mule loads. Yeah.
And they let them go. And as somebody here, one of our listeners was saying, you know, yeah, what Leo said, you know, they can track every single January 6th person down, but they can't figure out who took the cocaine into the White House, right? And they can't find a fighter jet. I mean, it's just
a fighter jet dropped the cocaine.
Yeah, really. You know, and again, I think that the thing that's so outrageous here, but Ken Buck then goes on MSNBC not only to double down on his attacks on you, but to also say, oh, and by the way, I don't see any direct evidence or any evidence that we should be impeaching Joe Biden. It's like, who are you trying to kid? You know, and
just because you said, OK, I'll replace the prosecutor or you give me or I'll hold back the $1 billion loan guarantee, but you give the money to my son. Somehow that's okay. You can drag, assuming he didn't get his own $5 million, which it sounds like he did. And Hunter said he had.
There's no evidence, right?
Yeah, I mean,
it's the same thing. Because clearly, like you said, Todd, what your letter was suggesting is that they look into it, right? And clearly, their version of looking into it was to Google it on all the left wing media sites. Right, and I'm sure that's where Ken Buck is like, well, I watch MSNBC all the time. Yeah. And you guys say there's
no evidence. I'm on MSNBC. That's my channel.
Right. So there's no evidence. It's this lack of any kind of curiosity as to what's actually going on. And then it's not even a head in the sand. It's a head someplace else, right? That they're saying, oh, no, there's nothing to see here. That is just bizarre to me.
It should be. So, Julie, you said the word Fedsurrection earlier, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have my own story about January 6th.
Okay.
So I was assigned to the Border Patrol headquarters, which is all of the CBP headquarters is at the Ronald Reagan Building, which is 14th Street in Pennsylvania. You knock a golf ball into the White House lawn from there, take you about, I don't know, 10-15 minutes to walk over to the Capitol from there, right? So after the there were riots in front of the White House back in July of 2020. Yeah, I don't know if you guys remember that. This is the one where MSNBC and everybody blamed Trump for tear gassing protesters.
He
could go take a picture with his Bible, right? They emptied Border Patrol headquarters, had agents go over there and kind of stand posts along the, the sidewalks and the street corners in that area. But that prompted our headquarters, Border Patrol headquarters and CBP writ large, to stand up riot platoons. So I was part of this. I was trained. I was one of the riot platoon members. My section there, we were responsible for buying all the gear. So we got trained up to form riot squads, about 80 from Border Patrol, 80 from the Office of Field Operations. That's the legacy customs people, the guys in the blue uniforms. So about 160 of us.
Right.
And we got all set, ready to go by October-ish. So, and between October and I'll say the end of December, we got put on standby or called in to suit up at least 6-7 times.
Wow.
Just based on, hey, you know, Antifa.
Maybe.
Because, I mean, there was monkey business, right, going around. So just maybe, hey, you know, heard there's supposedly some buses of Antifa coming in. We never got deployed. We never got formed up in the streets or anything. But, you know.
Yeah, you were there just in case.
We're losing you a bit.
Come in and stand, you just suited up, standing there in the lobby of the Reagan Building, waiting to see if anything happened all night. And it didn't. And this, you know, during the election, we were in there ready to go.
Well, and you know, you're breaking up a little bit, Pat, but that's typically the way it works, right? Which is, again, what makes the whole January 6th thing so suspicious, right? They had all of this information. We know from the Capitol.
Well into December, a couple, that there would be hundreds of thousands, if not millions. Let's stop the spill.
Right.
Well, it was interesting. The in Mitt Romney's book, he wrote to the Senate Majority Leader, and said, hey, I hear all these riots are going to occur. Why don't you get going and everything else? Interesting, because the Capitol Police were never told of these. Mitt Romney knew they could go out there and, beat up an old woman or something.
Well, I mean, we knew this. We knew these crowds were coming in. We were told to not even come into the district. Don't bother. No one was at the building. That Reagan building on any given day has about upwards of 500, armed federal agents and officers in it, you know, between the different headquarters elements, because, you know, we're all in uniform working right there as Border Patrol agents or CBP.
Whoop, Todd, you're breaking up again.
The officers or Air Marine, all federal agents. Oh, sorry. How about, give me a minute.
Okay. Well, again, to Todd's point, it's like they didn't do anything. And, you know, why Ken Bacco? He knows how law enforcement works. George Brockler knows how law enforcement works. I mean, so why there is no curiosity? And not only that, I could see maybe a lack of curiosity, but why they feel compelled to attack anyone who raises the question. I mean, that's the thing anymore. You know, it's this whole cancel thing. And we'll talk about Russell Brand a little bit. You just raise a question and they got to shut you up and shut you up fast. And you know, it's always like, and I think you're right. The marching orders are just coming from the swamp, from the Uniparty, where they just want to protect what they have, you know. Well, where are you, Todd? I mean, so you responded, and this letter is out there, so people, you can find it. I know Dave Williams, he put out your initial letter, or he didn't put it out, but, you know, the GOP put it out. Then Ken Buck said, I want mine, and then you said, well, I want to respond to Ken Buck since he was so awful, although you didn't say he was so awful. So people can see the letter, but where...
Well, are you going to go on George Brockler's show at some time?
Yeah. I don't know. Let me... I suppose I'm a glutton for punishment, huh?
Good for you.
You know, this is from Charlene. Buck doubling down makes me think he was in on it. He sure came out strong attacking the rally goers after the big media hype, immediately supporting the Democrat narratives. And then Leo says, I want to see a debate with Barney versus Ken and George. Barney says, me too, Leo. Yeah, Barney.
Well, somebody asked, did we get Ken on? Now, Ken used to call our show when we were on 710. From the airport, not uninvited, but we're happy to put him on. I'll call Ken, but I don't think he's going to want to come on this time.
No. And George, we've exchanged emails. And I think with George, I mean, to a certain extent, you just have to say, all right, I don't even want to say agree to disagree, but there's not much point. So Todd, I can kind of see where maybe you're like, you know, whatever. But let me ask you this. Where do you see, I mean, what happens now? I mean, you guys have gotten a lot of support. And I guess where I'm going with this is, what are you hearing in terms of Ken Buck's future?
I mean, a lot of his, I'll take them at their word that they're his constituents are saying, no, we're done. Yeah. He needs to get primaried. That's what I hear. I mean, none of these are, I would say, decision makers, you know, but
right.
I suspect that we're going to see an active assembly for CD4, I would suspect.
I think you may have to go up.
So,
yeah, that could, well, I think you could be right there. And I think, again, it's the January 6th stuff combined with just his impeachment stuff. You know, why, yeah. You know, again, this lack of, you know, there isn't any evidence. Number one, there is evidence. Number two, why are you siding with the Democrats, right? Because as we've said before, all this does is it gives the mainstream media the opportunity to turn around and use Ken Buck as a Republican saying, you see, even Republicans don't buy these theories, these crackpot conspiracy theories, right?
Yeah.
Rather than having people say, no, here's what we found, here's what's true. You know, he should say, why all of a sudden are just the January 6th DC prisoners and suddenly under 24/7 quarantine for the foreseeable future because of COVID, right? I mean, that's just, you know, somebody should ask why. And, you know, somebody who could maybe lean on them and say, maybe we shouldn't do that. But, you know, when Ken Buck is like, nope, that's, you know, not even true. I don't know what you do. So,
well, your letter was a great letter, first and second time. And I look forward to seeing you on the Brockler show and tearing it apart.
Yeah. take a straw poll on that. Let's see what does your viewership say about it? I don't see it moving a needle in any direction other than just bending it and twisting it into a knot. But
oh, you got to go on there. Tell him Chuck will happy to come on. We love that.
All right. Hey, Ted, well, listen, any final thoughts here before we let you go? I know we brought you on a little early, so I appreciate that.
Oh, no, that's, I mean, we'll, if the fate of Ken Buck and, you know, and Lauren Boebert and Doug Lamborn, who absolutely would not respond, and he's my rep.
Right.
I think that's the whether or not the party opts out of the open primary is going to be very potentially outcome determinant.
Yes.
I think you're right there. Okay, Todd, thank you.
Thanks, Todd. Good luck.
We'll talk to you soon again. Thank you. All right. Todd Watkins, there, the El Paso County GOP vice chair. Leo says, thank you, Todd. Very good. Barney says you're a good dude, which you are. But it is just interesting. And I think a sign of fear when they come out so strong in attack, right? Yes. That's a sign of fear, what you're seeing there, because again, George could have just dropped it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, because as Todd said, at a certain point, you aren't going to really move the needle. I think it was interesting because you listened to George's show and most of the callers were opposed to what Buck is doing, right?
Yes.
Then, I mean,
one particular, Maryland was particularly good.
Right. Not particularly there. So, you know, but again, the trying to shut people up and using maybe the force of your influence to try to shut people like Todd up. I mean, that's what we see, which kind of makes me turn to the Russell Brand thing, right?
Okay.
And the Lauren Boebert thing too. You know, here's the thing, and you brought this up.
It's
pretty interesting that The Hill did this whole story with Adam Frisch, who's the Democrat candidate, criticizing Lauren Boebert about how horrible she is and la, la, la. And The Hill never even mentions the fact that there were allegations that came out.
It was admitted. It was admitted that a taxi driver in Aspen filmed him while he took a dalliance in a storage shed with a extramarital partner, and then took that, and this is from the blackmailer himself, and said, I'll show the whole world this unless you agree to vote yes on banning Uber. And Todd Frisch voted yes. Adam Frisch voted yes on banning Uber. But that's okay, you see? There's no vaping in a theater. I mean, that's a major crime. It's
kind of like, was that bad behavior on Lauren Boebert's part? Yes. Was it stupid of her to have lied? Yes. Right? But again, you know, you don't see, you know, what about Jeffrey Epstein's client list? Whatever happened to that
one.
You know, I mean, what? And again, this Adam Frisch, they completely leave out the fact that he has an issue or two. And so that's my thing. Of course, if you're going to write the Lauren Boebert story, and I can see why they would, and you're going to interview Adam Frisch about it, at least mention somewhere in there
the storage shed.
The storage shed story, right? You know, and again, you go down to the Virginia Democrat candidate who's making sex tapes for money with her husband, just showing them to thousands of people. She portrays her, so the media describes them as leaked videotapes. Well, they weren't leaked. They were, you know, you could subscribe to her. That's not leaking. And then she's the victim, right?
Oh, so she's a terrible victim.
It's that, and now I want to talk a little bit about what they're doing to Russell Brand. He's, you know, I guess, how would you describe Russell Brand? He's been an actor. He's been all over the place. A comedian. He's become extremely popular lately.
In conservative
circles, because he's kind of like Tucker Carlson and a Joe Rogan kind of character. Mm-hmm. I don't think, or even an
like
Alex Berenson.
Had him on a show.
Right. I think he's a guy who wouldn't necessarily like to say, oh, I'm a conservative or I'm a Tea Party
but
guy. But what he is, one of those guys like Joe Rogan, who just kind of like asks the right questions and says, you know, like we said with the fighter jets don't just disappear. And
the Bermuda Triangle.
Well, the aliens have it. But I mean, so he what did somebody say? Speaks truth to power. Yeah, the aliens do. But so Russell Brand, anyway, he is speaking out and he has a large following. And so people are going, oh, wait a minute. You mean the Hunter Biden laptop story wasn't a Russia hoax? All this kind of stuff. And so what happens now? All of a sudden, he's under attack by several women. Now, there are no criminal charges, right? No criminal charges here. So all these women are coming forward.
There were two papers in the UK.
Yeah.
I forget which left-wing ones, who did a four-year 4-year joint investigation.
Yeah, a 4-year investigation. Okay. No, they did. They didn't do a 4-year investigation. They did about a 3-month investigation, but they had to say it was 4 years because everybody would say, like I'm saying, well, why didn't you do this story 4 years ago if it was such a big story?
And they had 5 people. 4 of them are anonymous, and 1 will give the name, saying he raped them and groomed them and did everything else. Now, see if this is a pattern. You remember Clarence Thomas was heading for confirmation, and all of a sudden Anita Hill jumps up, sex claims. Kavanaugh about to go through an easy confirmation, sex claims that from 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Right.
Adam Tate, all of a sudden,
Andrew
Tate, all of a sudden sex allegations. Julian Assange, rape allegations out of Sweden, which eventually proved to be
it all goes away, right? And you know, from what I understand, Russell Brand is like, okay, I was this promiscuous, and that's probably putting it nicely, guy. But everything
who looked like a promiscuous guy. So if you decide to go out with him, you know, you didn't have any.
Apparently that was his reputation. That was, and it was more than even his reputation. That was sort of a shtick,
yeah,
right? Kind of like Andrew Tate, that other influence. That's kind of it was a shtick for a while, but it's been a while. He's now married, has a couple of kids, doesn't do that anymore. And I think has acknowledged that, okay, that probably wasn't one of the best periods in my life, but he said everything was consensual. And I think it's like, as Charlene said, he's openly read it. It's like, Russell Brand is over the target. They have so many now speaking up that they have to attack. Musk, Tucker, Rogan, exactly. Don't forget President Trump, exactly, Sandra. You know, that's what they...
Yeah, who was that woman? He got $10 million.
He says anything about Tara Reid or anything like that.
Oh, yeah, I know.
So I think it's, you know, and well, so Russell Brand, though, it's working, right? His agent abandoned him. All of his, he travels around and he does like comedy concerts, basically, right? All of that has been canceled, right? So they're trying to hurt him again where he makes his living.
The good part is that Tucker Carlson has supported him. Elon Musk has supported him. I have a feeling you get a new booking agent just fine. And you also can get a different regular person as his agent. I mean, you know, I think everybody's really tired of, you know, okay, you played this game. I don't know how many... how many decades and how many times you always kind of go sexual assault, which can go anything from rape to you looked at her a little too strangely. And I think everybody's tired of it. And I think it's bullshit. And
well, yeah,
well, like it is.
Well, and again, and that's sort of look at some of the evidence, right? So these were all women. This was his reputation. This was his shtick. So anybody who went out with him, he was a celebrity, knew this was his shtick, right? None of them, from what we know of yet, filed a police report. None of them, you know, there was one, some woman said, well, she went to a rape crisis center. I don't know. I mean, look at the stuff they made up about Brett Kavanaugh, right? Yeah. With the woman there, which all turned out to be not true. And so, and yet they want to destroy him. And that's because I think he's gaining influence. Anyone who has any kind of, well, particularly to the degree that he does, mm-hmm. Tucker Carlson, take him off of Fox, right? Yeah, they want to destroy him.
I forgot that. Then there was some producer said, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's the work environment. I was harassed.
Right. Even though they weren't even in the same state, right?
And because he does his program for Maine and Florida. But he's saying, well, okay, but from afar.
Right.
He looked at me strangely from afar.
Right. Right. And so I think it's all, and if you're poor, I don't want to say poor, but yeah, was Amber Heard involved? She was just Johnny Depp. She was just Amber Heard. I think was
she
a little
was also
different.
Involved with Elon Musk.
Elon Musk. Right.
And some others.
From Dr. Donna, from what I still see, the state-run media has a lot of loyal followers. That's true. But I think Dr. Donna, it's decreasing, which is why they're increasing the attacks on these alternate media forms, right? You know, the Daily Mail. I mean, every time you turn around, lately, the whole weekend, it was filled with yet some other woman who came out. And again, all of a sudden, you know, it boggles the mind that suddenly all of these women have decided to come forward.
4-year investigation. 4 years.
It's not a 4-year.
4-year investigation.
In the media these days, no one who was even there 4 years ago is still working there, right? It's like, so there was not. They just had to say 4 years because otherwise it'd be, you know, why didn't you do this before? You know, so I don't.
They had to be sure. They had to get the proof. They had to get somebody on record. you know, all those lying pieces of garbage.
That's right, Sandra. People need to start listening to the real media. Chuck and Julie, Dr. Dunn, Randy Corporate.
Yay.
And then Charlene says, it's so obvious the attacks are orchestrated.
Right,
yes,
right.
They are orchestrated. And, you know, Rupert Murdoch owns the New York Post, which has, you know, been one of the main attack dogs in this whole thing. And, you know,
Wall Street Journal, owned by Rupert Murdoch.
Right. And so then they do all this and they just don't want anyone to know the truth. Well, how to see what happens. There was a scary, as we wrap up, there was a scary kind of article or column in the Conservative Treehouse today where Mark Warner, so the Senate Intelligence Committee, okay, they're talking about kind of working with the intelligence community to say that presidents can't take any documents ever with them from the White House, and that they can't declassify things. Only the intelligence
agency
can actually do this. And I think what they're pointing out is I think as we look at some of this AI algorithms that now are able to search for context, not just keywords, but search for context,
right.
That I think we're gearing up for 2024. We're going to see a lot more censorship going on in terms of. So, I mean, they're going to try to crush people who you've already heard of, like Russell Brand and Tucker Carlson
or us.
And they're going to try to make it harder to find alternate sources.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, it is interesting. You just Google search up the missing fighter jet and all you get are the corporate media accounts. None of which say, something's weird here, right? None of which say, the only people who are saying something's weird here are the people who are doing the memes.
The average
ordinary citizen. So, hey, that's going to wrap it up for us.
That's it for us.
On
Wednesday, I guess we'll have Tom, which will be great.
Tom Tancredo.
We'll also go over the incredible Ken Paxton trial.
Because jurors are waking up too. And we will see, if you guys see, we're going to have a big fighter jet.
Coming through the walls.
Start doing our podcast from the fighter jet.
We gotta get a posting F-35.
That's right. And in the meantime, if anyone sees the fighter jet, just let us know. Let us know too, and we'll interview you live. Everyone, thank you to everyone on Zoom. Thank you for Thomas for doing a great job, and to Todd Watkins for
I appreciate Todd coming on. Look forward to his debate with George Buckland.
All right, and everybody, will see you on Wednesday.